This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Still have the heat warnings, but good news is the temps are dropping. We got these fires, more worries about the home insurance market, too, and full coverage of the evacuations because of the fires. A big one may be headed for Big Bear.
That's a line fire out in San Bernardino County, and they're looking at temps today maybe around 100 degrees, so coming down a little but still really high, and they're concerned about it moving possibly toward Big Bear. We get the latest live now from our John Baird.
Well, you look at the CAL FIRE map and you realize how huge this fire is, 26,000 acres plus, only 5% contained, thousands of people under evacuation orders or evacuation warnings, and the wind blowing through the trees already this morning, which could be a problem in itself, plus the officials believe the fire is going to grow much bigger over the coming days and heading toward Big Bear Valley, putting thousands of more people in danger. Rick Carhart is with CAL FIRE.
You know, this fire is extremely dynamic, and it's burning in some areas that are really hard to get to. And so we will catch this fire. We will, we'll make it go out. But right now, we still have a firefight on our hands, and it's not the time to breathe easy yet.
I can attest to that. We've been breathing a lot of smoke. The air is really bad enough, and, this fire is still going. Meantime, hand crews have been sent into the Big Bear area to protect homes. Some 80 National Guard members are assisting firefighters with this fight.
Let's talk about the airport fire. This is the one that's burned 8,500 acres in Orange County, Tribuco Canyon area. Firefighters are going from the air and the ground, trying to keep it away from some of the transmission towers on one of the hills there. Here's Pete Demetrio.
Orange County Fire Authority Deputy Chief T.J. McGovern said the fire was started by work crews for the county who were placing boulders along an area of Tribuco Canyon to prevent motocross riders from gaining access to the area. The equipment apparently overheated and started the fire, which even without wind expanded dramatically.
The fire is being driven by topography and fuel, and it's right now it's headed up canyon. The crews will be working for the next couple of days for suppression and mitigation efforts.
Fortunately, no homes were lost, although an evacuation order remains in effect for the Robinson Ranch area near Tribuco Canyon. I'm Pete Demetrio, KNX News 97.1 FM.
What about the schools today? Well, at least two in Saddleback Valley District. They're going to be closed today because of the fire burning there in Tribuco Canyon. They are Tribuco Elementary and Robinson Elementary Schools. Could go back tomorrow, but that's going to depend on how things go with the fire today. Rancho Santa Margarita Catholic High School also called off classes today. And according to the Orange County Register, Capistrano Unified and Orange Unified, they will have classes, but with modified outdoor activities.
Angeles National Forest Bridge fire. This one, 3,000 acres, no containment, closing in on Mount Baldy Village. Bob Brill says it shows no signs of slowing down.
The blaze is burning through the San Gabriel Canyon, and nearly 300 firefighters are trying to slow its progress. There have been evacuations along the East Fork and Glendora Mountain roads. Also, anyone north of the San Antonio Dam up to Mount Baldy have been ordered out.
Firefighters will continue constructing fire line by hand and via dozer line around the fire's perimeter with support from the Quick Reaction Force helicopters.
Dana Dirks is with the Angeles National Forest. She says they are at a level 5, which means resources are more difficult to find due to so many fires being fought at the same time. San Gabriel Canyon and the East Fork remain closed. Those are prime areas for tourists. I'm Bob Brill, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Wildfires so far this year have burned more acres and destroyed more structures in the past 2 years combined. Raises concerns about the impact on the homeowners insurance market, which is already kind of shaky. Severe fire season, they say, could strain insurers, including California's FAIR plan, which serves as a last resort insurer.
20 minutes of nonstop news presented by the loanexchange.com for all your home loan needs. Vice President Harris, former President Trump with their first debate in Philadelphia tonight. Who's got the most to lose with it being such a close race? We talked to Michigan State University communications professor Dustin Carnahan.
How does the former president need to conduct himself to convince undecideds or begin to convince them that he's the right guy to lead the country and, in this case, lead the country again?
Well, I think the main thing you're going to see from Donald Trump is mostly just trying to kind of stick to his themes in terms of the issues that he's perceived strongest on, such as immigration, such as the economy. I think when you talk about those sort of kitchen table issues, that's what voters really want to hear about. So they're going to want to kind of hear that emphasis, the types of policies that he's going to pursue should he get a second term.
Are the stakes then higher for her? Because, look, he's done more of these than anybody else, and everybody's got an opinion almost on Donald Trump. But even post-convention, we're still hearing from so many people that I don't really know what Kamala Harris is about. So, in other words, maybe he's got what he's got. She can move the needle if she can end up moving it.
I think that's true. I think, again, Trump's the known commodity. Harris is still not very well known by some voters. They don't know exactly what a Harris administration would look like. I think right now, I think a recent poll said 28% of voters still don't feel like they know enough about Harris to decide on in terms of what they are going to do on Election Day. And I think especially there's a lot of question about whether or not she's going to really kind of pursue many of the same policies as the Biden administration, or if she's going to do things a little bit differently. So I think there's more at stake for her to really present a kind of sound plan for what ultimately her administration would look like.
So I'm going to go back to the optics on this, because much has been made about comments that might be made off mic. Looks, right? Glances, attitude, how the shaking of hands. How does Donald Trump need to control himself on this stage tonight? And I'm going to ask a question as a woman with Kamala Harris. I know it's 2024, but does she need to be concerned about the B factor?
Well, interesting question. Yeah, I'll start with Trump. I'll answer that question first. So I think the fact that the mics are going to be cut off, allowing the person who's asked a question to state their answer without having that opportunity for interruption, I think in some ways that does help Trump. Because I do believe that the interruptions, people don't like it. People don't like that incivility. They don't like that speaking over somebody else, especially the optics of a male candidate versus a female candidate. But I think trying to perhaps just maintain a higher level of composure than perhaps we've seen in past debates with regard to Trump, I think that's going to be really important for him. With regard to Harris, I think that she does need to walk a pretty delicate balancing act between being firm and assertive while also not crossing a line. I think, unfortunately, that still is an image today. I think you rightfully point that out. That is still an image concern for female candidates. But I think she's got a lot of experience as a former prosecutor. She actually performed quite well in 2020 when she had her vice presidential debate with Mike Pence. She was firm. She was assertive. She was commanding. Yet didn't really kind of cross into that line where she took a lot of criticism of going too far.
Handshake or no handshake?
I have no idea, but it's entirely possible we don't see one. I do think that could set the tone for whether or not we're going to see a civil exchange or if we're going to see more kind of gloves off, lots of trying to get those sound bites, trying to make that moment. I think that's really what a lot of these debates come down to anymore is just trying to avoid that significant gaffe. At the same time, trying to have those kind of key 5-10 second answers that really kind of set the momentum for what your campaign is going to look like these last 2 months.
Michigan State University comms professor Dustin Carnahan. Is the ABC debate starting at 6 tonight. We've got coverage of that. We will air it here on KNX News starting at 5:45 with our pregame.
You and I have our little bet behind the scenes. I say he goes for it first. He sticks out his hand.
She should go for it first. She should just walk out from behind the corner of the stage with the arm already extended. Just walk straight out there like that.
But we both say handshake.
Handshake.
Well, we apparently don't like having to ask for items locked in those glass cases at the grocery stores and the drug stores. You know, when you want some deodorant or something, you got to go get someone. LA's late fee for parking tickets ruled unconstitutional. Those and more. 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
A little more on Donald Trump. He's going to be in Southern California this week. He's got some press conferences at one of the national golf courses there in Rancho Palos Verdes on Friday. That's following the fundraiser he's here for on Thursday in LA. The tickets are pretty steep, anywhere from $3,000 to $250,000, and the perks along the way, right? You want the photo op? You want to be part of the roundtable and ask a question? No word yet on the theme or the subject for the presser.
All those locked off sections at the grocery stores and the drug stores to try to stop shoplifting, reportedly turning off a lot of other shoppers. Here's Chris Edens.
A new study finds that 55% of American shoppers will leave a store with products under lock and key and take their business somewhere else. Study author Edgar Dworsky is with Consumer World.
When you're in a drugstore environment or looking for a health and beauty aid, you really want to compare. You want to make sure you're buying the right one. Is this the right formula, you know, for my particular symptoms or whatever? I just don't know how people do it. And the sense is they don't. They balk. they leave and they try to find some other place that has the product they want where it's not locked up.
Dvorsky says 32% of people surveyed said they would stick around and get a store clerk to unlock the case, and 13% said they would find an alternate product that's not locked up. I'm Chris Seaton's KNX News 97.1 FM.
Safety improvements on the 14 Santa Clarita Antelope Valley on hold. Neither Caltrans nor Metro have said why. They called off some meetings where everyone's going to talk about this in Palmdale and Santa Clarita. Metro posting on the website. We'll reschedule them later. In a statement, LA County Supervisor Catherine Barger says, "We've waited long enough. The project needs to move forward. There's got to be urgency." She says the highway's a lifeline for the northern part of the county, known to have a high accident rate and unpredictable travel times.
An appeals court has ruled a class action lawsuit over parking fine late fees in L.A. can go forward. The case headed back to the lower court now, where lawyers will argue that doubling the fine if the penalty isn't paid within 21 days is unconstitutional. Case filed by drivers in 2015 argues that the 100% late penalty imposed on a $63 parking fine is excessive. Lower court had previously ruled in favor of the city. Courthouse News reports the Ninth Circuit found that there was a factual dispute over whether the fee was justified.
Dragon, CE, welcome to orbit. The Falcon team is honored to have helped you start your
incredible journey. They're up there, finally. After a few rounds of delays, SpaceX has launched the Polaris Dawn mission. We're set to see the first private spacewalk with this one. Multiple days, and the four up there on the capsule, a billionaire, two SpaceX engineers, a former Air Force Thunderbirds pilot, going to get up to 870 miles. That's deeper into space than any mission since Apollo. It's been 50 years. They're going to come down a little bit, and two of them wearing these brand new spacesuits are going to take some turns popping out of the hatch. CBS News space analyst Bill Harwood.
First civilian non-government spacewalk coming up early Thursday morning. That's going to be quite dramatic and record-setting in and of itself.
They're going to be tethered, and then they're always going to have a hand on a support that kind of looks like a pool ladder, you know, when you're getting into the pool there. The whole walk is about 2 hours long.
Former governor of New York is going to be asked questions on Capitol Hill today about nursing home deaths during COVID.
Andrew Cuomo, who was the Democratic governor of New York until 2021, will sit before a Republican-led U.S. House subcommittee today, which has been investigating the COVID pandemic. In a report issued yesterday, that subcommittee accused Cuomo of recklessly managing the pandemic as governor, including the deaths of COVID patients in nursing homes. Democrats have accused Republicans of politically motivated investigations near the election.
At CBS News correspondent Scott McFarlane.
20 minutes of nonstop news. First, all Chinese ships sailing coastal China with American passengers launching could be a game changer. Cruise ship is sailing between Shanghai and Hong Kong. KNX travel editor Peter Greenberg is on the ship in the South China Sea and is live with us.
Peter, Mike and I both want to know, is the Chinese government listening to this call?
More than probably they are. That's not going to be a surprise to people who are veteran travelers to China. I've been going since 1978, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, okay, you're on their radar then. So is this a good thing for people who have thought about going to China, but they're like, I'm not sure really how to do it. I mean, get on a boat and it'll do it for you, yeah?
Well, you know, 40 years ago, they had these cruises on U.S.-based and foreign-based ships. This is the first time they've taken a Viking cruise ship. We all know Viking cruises. They've reflagged it and renamed it. It's now the Yidun, as opposed to the Viking Sun. It's flying a Chinese flag with an all-Chinese crew, but 900 passengers, most of them American.
Is the food going to be good?
Well, you have a choice. You have a regular American menu, and you have an all-Chinese menu. I have to tell you, pick the Chinese.
They'll do it right. All right. So how long are we to have different options, and is this just the one that's going to do it, or are we going to see like an expansion of this?
Oh, no, this is not a short-term dip in the water. This is a long-term commitment as a partnership with many Chinese companies here. They'll be doing 7, 10, and 14-day itineraries year-round. So this is just the first of the trips, but it does signify a change when you consider how many Americans are not in China right now. You know, the U.S. State Department still has about a level 3 caution about going to China. Nothing to do about tourism, to do with business travelers. But you know what? This opens the door now, once again, for people to come back.
So let's switch gears and talk about the airline frequent flyer programs and the Transportation Department's investigation into how they kind of move the goalpost on how you can get points, how you figure out how many you need for a certain trip, and also the dynamic pricing. I mean, is anything going to come from this that's going to really help consumers?
Well, in the world of deregulation, there was nobody watching the store when it came to the airline frequent flyer programs. It was the wild, wild west, and there was no sheriff in town. You talk about moving the goalposts. Some would argue they moved the stadiums. And when you take a look at how many unredeemed miles out there are that people really worked hard to get, that they're never going to be able to redeem because of the redemption levels and because of always changing the rules. What the US DOT is basically investigating is, were the airlines making promises that they knew when they made those promises they had no intention of keeping? And that meets the level of a criminal fraud. So stay tuned.
What is my best use for the miles I've racked up? Is it to go and get a business class for free? Is it to upgrade? Is it to reach a certain level and I don't have to pay to change my seat every time or get a check back? Like, what do you use your miles for?
Well, using mileage to upgrade is probably the most inefficient use of the miles, because the whole idea of the mileage program was just to get any seat on the plane. That's number one. Number two, remember, airline mileage programs are not like banks. You're not accruing interest by sitting on your miles. You need to redeem your miles as fast as you can, for the simple reason why the DOT is investigating right now, because the airlines keep upping the ante in terms of redemption levels and how many miles you're going to need at any one given time to go any one place.
KNX travel editor Peter Greenberg on that ship in the South China Sea.